Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
A masterclass with famed opera singer Maria Callas is an intimidating affair, just ask Sophie, her first victim in Terrence McNally's Tony Award-winning masterclass, now being presented by Shakespeare & Company in Lenox, Massachusetts.
Yep, McNally takes us inside Callas' infamous sessions, or infamous sessions, which she conducted late in her career. Callas regales us with the details of her illustrious and controversial professional life, encouraging her pupils to take notes. Masterclass prompts the question so often posed by artists like Joe, what is the price of fame?
What is the price of fame? Actress Annette Miller can tell us she embodies Callas in a true tour de force performance. Miller was last seen at Shakespeare & Company's 35th season hit, The Tale of the Allergist's Wife. Annette, welcome to the program. Thank you very much.
One of our all-time favorites, Elizabeth Aspenleader, also joins us. Lizzie is the communications director and an artistic associate at Shakespeare & Company, and in her own right has starred in many productions.
And you're doing that this year as well, right?
I am. I'm starring in many productions. We're very happy to be here. Great to see you guys again.
Wonderful to see you. So, Annette, let us start with you. What has this experience been like for you to come in and take a whack at Maria Callas?
Well, this experience has highlighted everything I've ever learned about acting, and that's why I love this role. I don't find her intimidating to her students. Her teaching style is not within the boundaries of how we teach today, but certainly in the 70s, and when I was learning acting even earlier than that in classes, teachers were pretty hard on you. Teachers wanted you, expected you. You were at a certain level. They expected you to give your best, and they weren't pussyfooting around. And so I know she says certain things that are a little intimidating, but if you remember, there was a whole style of teaching, certainly in art, that used to be, we've got to rip you down so we can bring you up, mm-hmm. so you can get who you really are. So she came from that genre of teachers, but basically she is working very, very hard to get each student to do their best, find out who they are.
But she was also quite a woman. In that she had famous love affairs and she had this and that. And how did that cross over into her teaching?
Poorly. how it crossed over into her career, let me put it that way, was poorly. She was a true artist. I can't tell you how much I enjoy playing her because of her commitment to art and for what she says about art. She didn't have such good taste in men. And so that can go back to her childhood.
Was she right there before Jackie O, right?
We don't even want to talk about that. She was right there before he left her for Jackie O. And what's so beautiful about the piece is that she talks a lot about Medea and what Jason tells Medea, that he is leaving her for another woman, a younger woman, a princess. Well, this is exactly what happened to Maria. And so it... she comes into this class having having had Onassis leave her for Jackie, and she is now teaching. Her voice is not what it was at her height, and she is trying a new venue of teaching a master class, and she has much, much to offer, but she is certainly coming from a place of suffering. And she brings all that to her art. She talks about you can't play these difficult roles, Medea, Lady Macbeth, Norma, without digging deep into your own feelings. And that's what she's trying to illuminate. She was known for, her acting in her opera singing as well. She was one of the first who didn't just stand out there and sing an aria, and she talks about that, looking at the audience when they're meant to be involved in a dramatic situation. She was fearless, and she took her voice to places. She says, reckless, you bet I'm reckless. And maybe some opera singers would not. She compares herself to Sutherland and Sills, and she was very different.
Was she jealous?
Well, you know, I don't play that. I play that she was a perfectionist. She knew what she had to offer, and she was going to deliver that. I don't think her jealousy played into it at all. She was competitive, like any artist would be. But mostly she was after getting the best tone she could get out of herself and out of her students.
What is it like to, you've been part of Shakespeare and Company before?
17 years.
Okay, so you take on a role like this knowing how you will play it to this audience, in the sense of, I mean, it's all part of the culture, right? You know that this fits into the mission of Shakespeare and Company.
Oh, this definitely fits in. First of all, it's very much about language. And what's so magnificent is that she says to her students, think about the words you are saying. And that is what we talk about here at Shakespeare and Company.
So for me, it's McNally.
Oh, well, of course, Terrence McNally talks about those words and the importance of it, of creating a world that's connecting to your own deep feelings. And that is the work that we do here at Shakespeare and Company. Shakespeare has given us the words. We just have to connect them to our lives. And therein lies the rub. If you just say the words and you don't connect them, you ain't got Shakespeare, and you certainly don't have Maria Callas.
Yeah, but you say you know that she was committed to her students and to getting the best performance
yes.
out of them. Let me give you a hard time.
Okay.
How do you know? I mean, how do you know? I mean, you guy writes a play, you read the words, but how do you know?
Well, I've watched her. She is on. She is on the YouTube. You know, we have YouTube these days.
Oh, we do.
And so her classes were actually on YouTube. Now, unfortunately, they just have her voice. Her talking.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't show her in action, but they show her seated at the very same kind of a chair and table that I am seated at, and talking and encouraging her students. So I know what she was trying to get out of them. And when I hear the students, I know what they are doing wrong and what they have to do right. So when you say, how do you, what was your question?
How do you, as an interpreter of Callas, know what her motivation was?
Well, I look at the words that she says.
Yes.
I know where she comes from. I know where I, Annette, come from. Mm-hmm. And I know, therefore, what she is trying to do. Whether I agree with how she does it, I might want to say, oh no, Maria, don't quite say that. That will shut off the student, because I've been educated along a way that allows you to, a student to say something else. But what do I know? I only know that I'm an artist and I have to trust my own intuition. And
it's a good answer.
But at the base, when I use the term tour de force in the introduction, you talked about how everything that you know about being an actress, you are using in this
yes.
part. In the end, when you're on that stage, man, it seems like a lot of fun, doesn't it?
Oh, it's the best. I can't tell you how I look forward to being Maria every night, because she speaks such a truth from her inner soul. And then, of course, she goes back to her past and she knows her mistakes. And, you know, there's nothing she could do about that now.
So Lizzie, you are responsible for, I mean, you have this property on your hands, mm-hmm. this incredible play, which people should go and see.
Absolutely.
And so how do you get people to do that? I mean, that's your job.
That is part of my job. Well, I wanted to say artistic director Tony Simotas has pulled together just an incredible season, and it's very eclectic, so there's something for everyone. You know, we're promoting right now Love's Labor's Lost and our Shakespeare shows, but there is, so there's a way somebody might come to see Love's Labor's Lost. Well, we'll say, well, why don't you come see Masterclass at the same time? We're always, thank you. We're always marketing more than
Lizzie
one.
Lizzie just got a mic fitting. That's
thank you so much. That was great, Sarah. We're always marketing more than one show. Tomorrow, for instance, we're doing the reading of the Declaration of Independence mm-hmm. for the 4th of July. We'll have over 1,000 people there. The governor's going to be there. We'll be talking about our shows. Come back and see our shows. And it's just constant messaging. And this show in particular ties into, here we are at Tanglewood Broadcasting Live, which is oh so fun. And
I'm sorry, Lizzie. I was going to ask you about that, because here we now have this composite Berkshires with all of these wonderful cultural events.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sometimes concerned that we don't market ourselves. I'm a resident of the Berkshires. We don't market ourselves as this place, you know, where you come and you immerse yourself in culture for everybody, for everything.
You know, I think that's what, actually, I think that's what a lot of the culturals are trying to do. I know at Shakespeare and Company, Tony's mission is to get out, you know, the Berkshires, one-stop shopping. Some of our billboards
exactly.
are actually saying on our billboards, we're saying the Berkshires, that all you need. And so that's kind of a marketing where we want to include everyone, and we have great
relationships. Well, let me just try to hold you up, too, and ask you this tough question. Is everybody playing well together, or are there some who play better?
Honestly, I've had the great opportunity to work with work with Barrington Stage this spring, and I have never worked with them before. It was a wonderful collaborative effort, and we do work well. We play well together. We're setting up a meeting with all the culturals, the press directors, to brainstorm about how to bring the audiences to the Berkshires year round. So it's really it really is a terrific. Yes, you're trying to stop me.
We're trying to make sense.
Alan wants to answer one more question, but you have 45 seconds.
I can just keep talking.
No. Tina Packer's gone now from the major role that she played.
Oh, no, she isn't.
She's not.
She's our founding artistic director.
Has that transition been difficult?
I don't think so. I mean, Tony's a founding member of Shakespeare and Company and was there from the beginning, so they have a really terrific relationship, and they work together on bringing Tony up to speed as artistic director, but he's found his own way, his own unique footprint that he's put on the company.
Great.
We do love him, and Tina will be back this summer for the Beauty Queen of Lanann in August. We're thrilled to have her back, and there's just so much going on.
To keep track of all that is going on, go to shakespeare.org, shakespeare.org. Annette, Lizzie, thank you so much for being with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Pleasure. You're listening to the Roundtables live broadcast from Tanglewood and WAMC.